You are listening to KHUHLP 104.9 FM, Seattle. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with Hollow Earth Radio always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show! Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids. The Thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Yes. And welcome to the Thunderbolt for February 21st, 2020. I would like to start this week's show by encouraging listeners to subscribe to the weekly Thunderbolt electronic newsletter. The newsletter not only serves as the script for this radio show, but it also usually includes links to source information so that you can conduct further investigation upon any topic that I cover. Plus, unlike the radio show, I do not have any time constraints with the newsletter, and so the newsletter often contains a lot of material that never makes it into the radio show. You can subscribe to the Thunderbolt newsletter by sending an email to Dana 98501 at gmail.com. That's Dana, D-A-N-A, 98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, at gmail. And you can also find all the archives for both the newsletter and the radio show at my WordPress website, which is dana98501.wordpress.com. And if you're using a Safari browser, for some reason they say you have to give special permission to go to this website. Their certificate is messed up or some crap like that, but whatever. It's a WordPress site. You can also use either the email or the website to comment upon or criticize anything you hear on this program as well, though you should stand warned that I might print or broadcast your comment. And so I got a brand new show for you that no one's ever heard before, so let's get to it. You know, I fully expect right-wingers to engage in reprehensible crap. So when they do, I usually do not do much more than point it out whenever it is being ignored by the media at large. The left, on the other hand, are supposed to be the good guys. And so, I tend to be far less tolerant of misbehavior when it comes from my side. So, St. Pete for Peace recently put together a fact sheet of what they termed the new left. And here is what St. Pete for Peace had to say about that. Quote, why are we collecting data that makes some liberals, progressives, and anarchists look bad? We are doing this because St. Pete for Peace is objective, nonpartisan, and seeking a country and a world without hate or violence. The new anti-Trump, hyper-PC culture left today is often hateful, hypocritical, and counterproductive. Some on the new left need to be called out for their intolerance, their rioting, their bullying, their sexual harassment, their racism, their tribalism, their identity politics, their cultural totalitarianism, anti-Russia hysteria, virtue signaling, pop-up activism, hoaxes, and witch hunts. Free speech is something that the left is supposed to stand for. But today, many on the left are suppressing open expression. And please note, St. Pete for Peace does not count itself as being, quote, on the left. We are simply an anti-war group. Unquote.
Yeah, what I've been saying myself for the last few years now, and what I've been getting some serious flack for saying for the last few years now. And as for the political left, even as the impeachment theater distracts everyone, the Democrats, the supposed opposition party, are quietly giving the rump everything that he wants. They were almost fully on board with the bipartisan passage of a $780 billion plus military budget. And they just gave the rump his new North American Free Trade Agreement without fanfare. Drone attacks have greatly increased, even as the press coverage of drone attacks has greatly decreased. And the surveillance state continues unabated, without mention from much of anyone, much less the Democrats. They even gave the rump his space force, thus further militarizing outer space. And worst of all, the Democrats are fully cooperating in the Rump's attempt to pack the federal courts with fascists for a generation to come. Since there has been almost no Democratic Party opposition, it has taken the Rump a mere 3 years to appoint 25% of all federal judges that are currently sitting. And most of these new judges are very young. And many are literally rated as unqualified. And every single one of those judges had to pass a Federalist Society fascist purity test in order to get there. And the Democrats do nothing but whine and cave. Yes, kids, in the impeachment theater, the Democrats are accusing the Rump of colluding with hostile foreign powers. Yet at the very same time, they just gave him a $700 billion plus military budget. Really? To someone who is colluding with hostile foreign powers? So WTF does that say?
If you've enjoyed listening to this record, you'll enjoy Folk Songs of the Spanish Inquisition.
Your mother must keep up. You must be careful what you do, you fool.
One of about 17 or 38 reasons why I'm against trying to pass gun control laws is because I have traveled extensively in Bubba Land. I have hitchhiked extensively in Bubba Land. I've been in Bubba's car, and I've had dinner with Bubba's family in Bubba's home. I even once partied in Bubba's bar, as far as it is possible to party in a bar when you don't drink. And I can guarantee you there are many millions and probably tens of millions of Bubbas whose number one fear is liberals coming to take their guns. There is no other issue that is more guaranteed to get Bubba off of his couch and cleaning his guns in anticipation of taking to the streets. And I personally hate it when Bubba gets all motivated and active, especially when he starts cleaning his guns. There's a popular saying amongst Bubba's crowd that is often expressed on bumper stickers that says, "I will give up my gun when they pry my cold, dead fingers from around it." My own father had that bumper sticker on our family car when I was a kid, in fact. And my father was a New Deal Democrat. So it's not just Bubba's. Now, while in many cases the cold, dead fingers thing is likely to be a lot of bluster, but I can absolutely guarantee you that in a lot of other cases, it is absolutely not bluster in any manner. In fact, if you really want to instigate an armed right-wing rebellion in this country, I cannot think of a better way to do it than by trying to pass restrictive gun control laws. Now, I mention all of this because the Democrats recently retook the state government in Virginia. And the very first thing they did was to try to pass gun control laws. And they stirred up the very hornet's nest that I just described. Bubba rose up, and the governor of Virginia declared a state of emergency. And now Bubba in Virginia is pissed, motivated, organizing, sending money to the NRA, sending money to Republicans, and he is cleaning his guns. So I will mention this again. Good people do not need laws. Bad people ignore laws. And rich people buy laws. So I have always found laws to be of highly limited utility. If you really want to discourage a certain behavior, you don't simply make it illegal. You make it unacceptable, which is a different thing. So I'm going to repeat an anecdote from my own personal experience. A drunk driver killed my mother when I was 11 years old. And it never even occurred to me at the time to blame the guy's car, much less become an anti-car activist. I blamed the guy for driving his car while he was drunk. And I would also note that it was illegal for him to drive his car while he was drunk, meaning that their law certainly did not save my mother. So I just listened to an old Thunderbolt that I was considering for a replay. And this piece was originally recorded just after the Rump had won the election, but before he'd actually taken office. At that time, I predicted that the Rump would turn the government over to a bunch of psychopaths whilst he spent his time playing golf and grabbing pussies. Well, I got the first part right. For the second part, though, he has turned out to be much more of an activist president than I originally surmised he would be. Though in hindsight, I now realize I should have known that such an unholy ego always has to be at center of stage, and that the rump would constantly be seeking the headlines. I also did not take into proper account what a profoundly invaluable tool that is for the machine. They now have the rump sucking all of the air out of the national narrative, whilst everybody is ignoring all of the really important and the really nasty things that the machine is doing in the shadows. Even with the vast plethora of things to loathe about our president, though, here is my personal pet peeve. He has no substance. He is a chimera. There's nothing there. He's like a featureless lump of clay. He is a blank slate. He has no character. He has no class. He has no knowledge. He has no principles. He has no compassion. He has no wisdom. He has no empathy. And he has no conscience. The only thing he does have, in fact, is that, as was the case with Barack Obama, the rump is a genius at reflecting whatever people want to see there. But unlike Barack Obama, underneath the subterfuge, the rump is just a big blank zero. There is nothing there. But he's the president of the United States. Go figure. One of the only things that I did not hate about the rump was his seeming reluctance to get involved in yet more interventionist wars. Unlike the Democrats, but that was before he committed an act of war against Iran. Now, while I actually think there might be great benefit in making the people who start our wars start having to face actual consequences for starting wars, according to the current consensus, assassinating high government officials is absolutely taboo, and for the rump to break that taboo says a lot of not good things. And assassinating a foreign government official in a public airport on a third country's soil, not to mention murdering several other people as well, including an official of the country where the attack actually took place. Now, the rump crossed a whole bunch of very clearly delineated lines, and he should be impeached for that alone. But he won't be. In addition, the Iranian official that they killed, General Qasem Soleimani, was not only acknowledged as the number two government official in Iran, second only to the Ayatollah, but he was also the man most responsible for Iran's ability to fend off Iraq's assault back in the day. And he was the man most responsible for the defeat of ISIS in Syria. General Soleimani was highly respected and even revered, not only in Iran, but also across the whole Shia world, as well as by nearly everyone else whose worldview was not largely shaped by the propaganda arm of the American State Department. American officials also just don't seem to get it that turnaround is usually considered to be fair play. Americans may consider themselves to be exceptional and that the rules don't apply to them, but the rest of the world may have a different view. What if someone assassinated an American senator whilst he was at a foreign airport? What if someone droned a DC wedding party with a Hellfire missile? Gooses and gander come to mind. We're going to take a quick station break now. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. The inspiration for the character of Mr. X in Oliver Stone's film JFK was a gentleman named Fletcher Prouty. And according to Mr. Prouty, quote, "If you don't know about government drug trafficking, then you are too ignorant to operate effectively in Washington, D.C. Whereas if you try to stop government drug trafficking, then you are too naive to work effectively in Washington, D.C. All high government officials of both political parties know about government drug trafficking. And no government officials of either political party are doing anything about it. In addition, it is now known that Nancy Pelosi knew all about the Iraqi torture chambers from very early on, and that she not only did absolutely nothing to stop it, but she helped them to keep their nasty little secret. Not only do they remain silent, but with but a few scattered exceptions in the House and one in the Senate, all of them are otherwise active participants. They take payoffs to remain silent, and thus they are actually in on it. They remain silent about the drugs. They remain silent about the torture and the other war crimes. They remain silent about the crimes against humanity. And they remain silent about the surveillance police state. Even Bernie, even if he is not an active participant, he at least knows about it. he remains silent. Yes, kids, the Wall Street war drug machine is all pervasive. And of course, most of the acknowledged criminals and the well-known criminal organizations are directly involved as well. I have previously reported upon the fact that cooperation between organized crime and the American intelligence services started during World War II when the infamous gangster Lucky Luciano provided intelligence for the United States Army during their invasion of Sicily. Well, I have recently learned that it actually went much deeper than that. Lucky Luciano was in prison at the outbreak of World War II, and he had been put there by crusading New York District Attorney Thomas Dewey, who later ran against Harry Truman for president in 1948. So it turns out that this very same Thomas Dewey also later offered Mr. Luciano a deal. Lucky Luciano would be pardoned for his crimes if he agreed to do three things. He was to travel to Italy and use his mafia connections to set up resistance and intelligence operations. He was to use his connections within the American labor movement to root out German and Italian spies, though after the war, they turned their attention to socialists. And third, Mr. Luciano was to process the heroin coming from Southeast Asia so that the OSS and later the CIA could finance the Kuomintang, which was a Chinese military unit that operated against the Japanese during the war and then against Mao Zedong after the war. Now, this cooperation between the United States government and one of the most notorious gangsters and criminals of his time was called, rather unimaginatively, Operation Underworld. In Operation Underworld, we have the roots of the very close relationship between the Central Intelligence Agency and the Mafia. In Operation Underworld, we have the roots of the corruption of the leaders of the American labor movement. And in Operation Underworld, we have the roots of our modern drug cartels. The same people who run Operation Underworld are the same people who are running our world, and they are destroying our world for their own short-term profit. And if we don't stop them, we're doomed. And whether or not Donald Trump is impeached is almost completely irrelevant in this context. And this is the context that we need to operate in, because we need to deal not with the rump, but with the underlying sickness that gave us the rump. Now, many people are confident that human ingenuity and technology will save us. But I feel that their confidence generally does not take into account our addiction to low-cost and plentiful energy. At this point, under the current paradigm, cheap and abundant energy is what makes everything else we do even possible. And even though peak oil was temporarily postponed due to new discoveries and to fracking technology, it currently costs,
I know what I want, but I just don't,
$60 merely to produce a barrel of fracked oil.
Feeling sweet, feeling drops from my fingers.
$60 a barrel,
manic depression is catching my soul,
is the current market price for oil. The only way that continues to work is for oil to become much more expensive.
Moments are weary, sweet calls in vain.
The oil boom is soon to end.
You make love, you break love.
Our days of endless exponential growth are over.
Music, sweet music, I wish I could grasp.
The only way to fix this,
depression is a prostrating mess,
if it is even possible to fix it at this point, is to completely restructure our entire economy from the ground up. That is not going to be calmly and rationally worked out in some boardroom or in some political process. It is going to happen during crisis and by necessity, probably in the midst of chaos. And I would maintain that whoever has the infrastructure and the ideas and the organization ready to rock and roll when that crisis strikes are much more likely to be the ones steering our ship to wherever we go from there. And right now, the bad guys are the ones who have all of that. Well, we do not have that.
Really no use in me hanging around.
We're all too busy with our circular firing squad.
Wish I could grasp manic depression. Here's a frustrating mess.
It is time for us to organize in solidarity. That is probably the most important thing anyone can do right now. It is time to get to work. All right. That's it for the news and commentary section this week. For Seattle listeners, I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. This is a piece of music I just discovered myself. I heard it on the radio and I went and tracked it down. This is David Olney. joy.
What a sunburn, hot it burned, my eyes burned so hot I thought I'd died. Thought I'd died and gone to hell, looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, I went to the river, but the river was dry, and I fell to my knees and I looked to the sky. Looked to the sky and the spring rain fell, I drank the water from a deeper well. Well, I drank the water from a deeper well. Well, I fell in love like a baby child. I fell for a touch and I fell for a smile. Smile turned bitter and her touch turned cold. I could not keep what I could not hold. So I ran with the moon and I ran with the night, and the three of us was a terrible sight. Hoard and we'd gamble with the money we'd steal, looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, looking for the water from a deeper well. What a moon got weak and he soon was gone, and the night got sick and he died with the dawn. Died with the dawn with a drink in his hand, too sick to walk, too drunk to stand. Well, time stood still, but I ran wild, and I got my fill with a crooked smile. Woke up on the floor of a jailhouse cell, looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, looking for the water from a deeper well. So hot I thought I'd died. Thought I'd died and gone to hell, looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, I went to the river, but the river was dry, and I fell to my knees and I looked to the sky. Looked to the sky and the spring rain fell, I drank the water from a deeper well. Well, I drank the water from a deeper well.
Please. and all that's gone. Brings life to your knees.
Bone days.
You don't know what to pray, so you keep making pleas. Bone days.
Bone days. What love has to do could be no more than karma paybacks or karma rewards. Hearts of wants, hearts of swords. Bone days. In the great need, there is no more enough. Everywhere, chasing the chase, holding and taking, play rough. Bone days. The promise is the lie someone want to hear. What if the truth is seen and nobody's living here?
Bone days.
Bone days. Covering the night in the tears of the stars and the way memories run. Every ending has just begun. Bone days.
The promise is the lie someone's want to hear.
Bone days.
What if the truth is seen and nobody's living here?
Man of God, man of God, that ain't the preachings of a man of God.
was Man of God from Eliza Gilkison. For that, we had Bone Days from John Trudell. And we started that set off with Deeper Well from David Olney. And that's it for the show this week. And I would like to encourage listeners once again to donate to your local community radio station. We're putting out the real news. They call us fake news, and actually, they're the fake news. So get the real news, and you need to support it. We'll see you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And please note that the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can now go directly to the Thunderbolt WordPress site, which is at dana98501.wordpress.com. Thank you very much.